Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Exodus is the book of Exodus. It really is. Not just the book of Exodus, it is the book of Exodus. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? They're making an Exodus. That's what the children of Israel are doing when we come to the book of Exodus. You know that they've been in bondage for years and years and years, and now God raises up Moses and trains Moses, and God uses Moses to lead his people out of Egypt and to make the exodus out of Egypt to Canaan's land. They begin on their journey to Canaan's land. Whenever we come to chapter 15, Israel had just experienced the greatest deliverance of their life. They had been delivered from bondage. They had crossed the Red Sea. They had sung praises unto God. But 3 days later, when we come to Exodus chapter number 15, they find themselves at a place called Marah. Note with me what the Bible said in verse number 23. The Bible said, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Note again what the Bible said, that when Moses prayed, God showed him a tree. And the very thing that was bitter, God showed Moses a tree to cast in their bitterness. And because of the tree, everything changed after that. And I want to preach to you just a little while this morning on that tree. Father, I love you. I thank you for being good to us. I thank you, God, for loving me. God, I pray that you'd help us this morning. God, thank you for good choir singing. God, thank you, Lord, for good special singing. But over the next few minutes, God, I pray that you'd preach us today, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, I want to look at this tree for just a little while this morning. What they found whenever they got to these waters was they found they could not drink of the water. Now, think about this. They'd been 3 days in the wilderness. Now, we got to understand how many people that we're talking about. There's probably, depends on who you read after, but there's probably someone between 2.5 and 3 million people that makes this exodus out of Egypt. We know that there's the Israelites, there's a mixed multitude that follows them out also, and they make this exodus. Now, for 3 days, they've been without anything. They've been in a wilderness for 3 days. No doubt all of their water is gone, probably their supplies are gone, and here they are. They're at a very desperate time in their life. And whenever they come to the waters of Marah, they think they find something that can help them in their desperation. But what they find is something that is extremely bitter. Matter of fact, the Bible even says that they could not drink of the waters. Evidently, it was pretty bad that they wouldn't even drink of it. I thought about this. Is that not a picture of the world today? You know what? The world poses that it has what we need. And what people do throughout their life, they turn to this world and think this world has what they need. People turn to alcohol. They turn to premarital sex. They turn to this and to that and to drugs and to prescription drugs, and they all think that it's what they need. But here's the truth of the matter. All it does is leaves them in worse shape than when they got there. When they got there, the children of Israel thought, man, this is something we need. This is the answer to our problem. But they found out that it made things worse. That's what the world does today. The world will pose that it has the answer to all the problems. And if you'll just partake of it, you'll find what you need. But what it will do every single time, it'll leave you in worse shape than when you got there. How many times have I sat down as a pastor with people and tried to help them, and they went to the world and then came back and said something like this to me and Miss Leslie: you was right, the world had nothing to offer. I'm back and I'm in a mess. Oh, but can I tell you something? When the children of Israel got to that bitter place, when they got to that place where it seemed that there was no hope left, they was in the desert, everything around them was barren and dry. What they thought they needed was nothing but bitterness in their life and made the situation worse. You know who they went to? Moses. Now I find that interesting. You know, let me tell you the reason why. They've just been murmuring about him. Brother Lloyd, they've just been talking about him. They've just been running their mouth about him. But when everything goes wrong, you grew up in a pastor's home. And how many times has people chewed your daddy up and spit him out? But when everything goes wrong, he's the first person they call. I found that. I grew up in a preacher's house. It's okay. Y'all can laugh, say amen, or old me, whatever you want to do right there. Because it's the truth, okay? I grew up in a preacher's home. It's all I've ever known. I've seen people, man, they've talked about my daddy like a dog. And the next day, call him and say, preacher, I need some help. And I've always wanted to say, well, daddy, why don't you say, well, you told me I didn't know what I was doing. Are you with me? Who did they go to? They run to Moses. They run to the man of God. Let me tell you the reason why. They knew deep down inside he was the real deal. And they said, Moses, what are we going to do? And here's what Moses does. Moses doesn't pick up a 7-step book. Moses doesn't pick up a book on leadership. I'm all for reading about different things. I'm constantly reading new books, and I'm reading one on self-discipline right now, and I just quit reading it. But I might start it back tomorrow. Man, I'm telling you, it's tough. The guy that wrote it led the SEAL team in that killed Saddam Hussein. And he's a great writer, but I'm going to tell you something. He's tough. He's militant. And I just don't know that I'm going to get up at 4:30 in the morning and run 27 miles and not eat for 30 days just because I can. I can, but I ain't going to, all right? But watch this. You know what Moses does? The first thing he does, he drops to his knees in prayer. And he says, Lord, and all this is not written, but I think it was something about like this. Lord, these people are crazy, but they need something from you. God, you called me to lead them, and I need to know what to do. And you know what God does? God says, well, Moses, of all things, there's a tree over there. And I want you to get that tree, and I want you to throw it in the water. Now, I thought about this. I don't know if it's a big tree. I don't know if it's a little tree. I don't know if it's an oak tree or a sycamore tree. I don't know. I don't know if it was a dog. I don't know. I just know it's a tree. You with me? I don't know if it had failed. I don't know if he cut it down. I don't know. But I know this. He picked the tree up and put it in the water. And you know what happens when Moses picks the tree up and puts the tree in the water? Something supernatural took place. According to the Bible said, the waters were made sweet. The very thing that they once run from, they're now running to. What happened? Here's what happened. The tree made all the difference. The tree made all the difference. Let me tell you what will make all the difference in your life today. You can look into this world all you want to. You can run to the things of this world all you want to. You can search the things of this world all you want to. But I'm telling you what will make the difference in your life today. It's to get the tree in your life. If you've not caught on to it yet, it's a picture of a place called Calvary in the Old Testament. You see, Jesus, amen, Jesus willingly laid his life down on the tree, and it's because of Calvary that's what makes the difference. Let me show you three things about this tree. Number one, I want you to see the place of the tree. The place of the tree. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this, the Lord showed him a tree. The tree was already there. God already had the answer before Israel ever discovered that they had a problem. When Israel got to where they was going, guess what was already there? The tree. Before they ever knew, can I just say it this way? Before they ever knew that they was going to have a problem, God already had a solution. Oh, yes, the place of the tree. I thought about this. Before Adam sinned, God already had a plan. Before you were born, God already had a remedy. Before you ever committed the first sin, God already knew that there would be a cross. The Bible said this in Revelation chapter 13. He said, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The tree was also near at hand, the place of the tree. Moses didn't have to travel to Egypt. He didn't have to climb a mountain. He simply had to look where God pointed. And the answer to their very need was right in front of his eyes. I want you to hear me this morning. The tree is at hand. You don't have to climb some mountain. You don't have to go through some supernatural experience. The Bible said this in Romans 10. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Thank God the Word of God, the tree, is not us. Many are looking to morality. Many are looking to church membership. Many are looking to baptism or self-improvement or to good works. But the answer to every problem that you have, it's not in morality. It's not in church membership. It's not in baptism. It's not in self-improvement. I tell you where it's at. It's at the tree today. The place of the tree. God had it exactly where they needed it. The answer to bitterness of sin is not found in turning over a new leaf. Did you hear what I just said? The answer to the bitterness, how many times have we heard somebody say that? Well, preacher, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. That's not where it's found at. It's not found in turning over a new leaf. Let me tell you where the answer to the bitterness of sin is found at. It's found on a tree. Forget about the leaf, go to the tree, man. Can I just say that again? Forget about the leaf. Go straight to the tree. Because here's the truth of the matter is this. You can't turn over a new leaf within yourself. Oh, you may do better for just a little while, but you're going to find yourself right back in the old ways. But if you'll get to the tree, oh, yeah, the place of the tree. It was right where they needed it. Number two, watch this morning. There was the plan of the tree. Not only the place of it, the plan of it. What did the Bible say? Which when he had cast into the waters, Jesus as the tree was cast into the waters, just as the tree was cast into the waters, Jesus was cast into the bitterness of the world and the bitterness of sin one day. The plan of the tree, I thought about this, and we could go so many different directions with this, so I'll just say this in passing. The plan of that tree sitting on the side of that lake that day, that pond that day, Mara that day, the plan of that tree was not just to sit there. The plan of that tree was to be cast into the bitterness. The plan of Jesus, hear me, was not just to sit in heaven. The plan of Jesus from the foundation of the world Sin did not take God by surprise. I just read it to you. From the foundation of the world, the plan of Jesus was to be cast into the bitterness of sin. The plan of the tree. The tree had to be applied. Simply knowing the tree existed did not help the people. Moses could have looked and saw the tree and said, yeah, there it is. Moses could have told the people, you know what? That tree right there will change your life. But until that tree got placed into that bitter water, nothing was going to take place. I hope you're getting what I'm saying to you. It had to be cast into it. Looking at the tree didn't help. Talking about the tree didn't help. Knowing that the tree could give help didn't help. Think about this. It's one thing to know about Jesus, to explain what the gospel is, to know what the Bible says, but there must come a time when what Christ did becomes personal to you. It becomes personal to you. The waters were not changed by information. The waters was not changed by information. The waters was changed because the tree was put in them. You can hear about Jesus. I talked to our young adults this morning, and I talked about this very thing. It's one thing to hear about Him. It's one thing to know about Him. It's one thing to have mom and daddy teach it to you. It's one thing to hold mom and daddy's standard for so long. But the day is coming that you're going to grow up, you're going to move out, and you're going to become an adult. And it's going to have to be grounded in your life. He's got to become real to you, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I can preach to you all that I want to preach to you about Jesus. I can tell you everything that I know to tell you about that book right there. I can tell you there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. I can read you every scripture that you want me to read to you, but knowing about it will never get you there. They can know all they wanted to know about that tree, but until that tree was cast into their bitter waters, there was never a change that was made. A sinner will never be saved by information alone. There must come a time that that information is applied to his heart. And he asked Christ to forgive him of his sins, to come into his heart and save him. Listen to what the Bible said. John chapter 1, but as many as received me, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What did the Bible say in Romans 10? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There must come a time in your life where the tree moves from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge. It moves from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge. I've already said I read a lot. I read a lot about statistics. I read a lot about church leadership and church statistics and membership statistics. And one thing that I've come to the conclusion of is in some churches, and thankfully we don't have that a lot here. Matter of fact, we have it very little. Matter of fact, I just said our young adults are leading our VBS. Thank God for that, amen. But a lot of churches have a lot of young adults that make an exodus whenever they become young adults and they get out on their own. Let me tell you what I truly believe the reason for that is this right here. All they've ever had is a head knowledge of the Bible. It's all they've ever had. That's the reason when you deal with somebody in the altar about being saved, you make sure to know what the leading of the Holy Spirit is. We just don't say, read this, this, and this, now pray and repeat after me, you're saved. I'm going to tell you, it's going to get real good and quiet right here, but that's all right. There's a lot of people that's going to die and go to hell off of some shallow altar worker that run them through the scriptures and said they got saved. And they never understood one bit of it. They went to the altar as a young person because somebody else did, or some VBS worker said, repeat after me. And that's the reason when they get adulthood, they leave the church, they never come back, there's never the chastening hand of God on their life. If you're not chastened, you're not the son of God. You're not one of his children. That's what the Bible said. And I'm going to tell you something. There has to come a time in your life, listen to me, when it's not just a head knowledge. It's not just something the mom and daddy's taught you. It's not just something the preacher's taught you. It's not just something that you heard in vacation Bible school or at youth camp. It becomes real to you. You realize you're at a bitter place. You realize you're lost. You realize you're on the road to hell. But you also realize there was a tree, and the plan of that tree was to be placed deep down in your heart and change your life. Amen. The plan of the tree, the place of the tree. But now watch this. The power of the tree. I'm right now done. The power of the tree. The waters, according to the Bible said right here in our text, the waters were made sweet. The tree, are you ready? This is deep. The tree done what man couldn't. That's deep, isn't it? Matter of fact, that's real deep if you really want to think about it. What man could not do, the tree did. What I can't do for you, the tree can. That peace that you're trying to find in this world, I can't give it to you, but I know who can. The power of the tree, the waters were made sweet. Israel cannot sweeten the waters. Moses cannot sweeten the waters. The people cannot sweeten the waters. Only the tree could. Likewise, religion cannot remove sin. Good works cannot remove sin. Baptism cannot remove sin. Church membership cannot remove sin. Oh, but thank God the tree can. The Bible said this in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Who his own self bore our sin. Sins in his own body on what? The tree. The miracle was this. The tree was cast into bitter waters, but the tree did not become bitter. The waters become sweet. I mean, our little old minds would think that if you throwed a little bit of tree into a great big body of water, that was bitter, that the tree would become bitter. No. Here's what happened. The tree done what man could not do. And the only reason it done what man could not do was because there was a supernatural force behind it. There was a heavenly force behind it. The tree was cast into bitter waters, but the tree did not become bitter. The waters became sweet. When Jesus went to Calvary, he entered our bitterness. He entered our sin. He entered our judgment. He entered our death. He overcame them all because he took our bitterness. He took our sin. He took our shame. And you know what he gave for our bitterness and for our sin and for our shame? He gave the sweetness of the Holy Spirit and the Christian life, all for an exchange of our bitterness. The Bible said this in 2 Corinthians, if you'll come start playing, Miss Daniel. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The cross can do what nothing else can do. The tree can forgive sin. The tree can remove guilt. The tree can change a life. The tree can give eternal life. The tree can make a bitter heart a sweet heart. At Mara, there were three things. There were bitter waters. There was helpless people. But there was a God-provided tree. And you know what? As we gather each time in the church, we could say this. There's bitter waters. There's helpless people. But there's a tree that's provided every time that we meet that can absolutely change lives. What this world cannot do, he can do. What this world cannot give, he can give. Again, it was one thing to know something about the tree, but it was quite another thing. It's quite another thing to put the tree in the water. I want to ask you a question this morning. What is that bitterness of sin in your life? Have you ever been to Calvary? Have you ever been saved? They thought, and I'm telling you, man, this is the way the world works. They thought that right in front of them was everything they needed. And can I say something? It was. But their eyes became focused on what was appealing to their flesh. And that's what they went to first. But after prayer, and the man of God listening to God Himself, their eyes became focused on a tree. The tree was there the whole time. When they walked up, the tree was there. It didn't magically appear after Moses prayed. It was there. How many times is what we really need right in front of our eyes? But it looks like the other things are more alluring, and they are to our flesh. And we have to, can I just say it this way, learn the hard way. They had to learn that they never even had to drink of the waters of bitter. That was bitter. Moses could have prayed and God showed him a tree and he throwed it in it and they drunk of it and never experienced all the bitterness. But they did. Why? Because it's focused on the wrong thing. The very answer to every problem in your life, can I just say it this way? It's in a tree. It's in a tree today. Having a head knowledge of this tree is completely different than having a heart knowledge of this tree. Knowing how to be saved and being saved is completely different. Knowing what the gospel is and the gospel applied to your life is completely different. Can I just say it this way? The difference is this: heaven and hell. That's the difference this morning. It's not drinking a bitter water or a sweet water. It's heaven and it's hell. The bitter water is hell. The sweet water is heaven. And there's no one else that can make the choice to put that tree in your life but you. Mom and Daddy raised me right, but Mom and Daddy couldn't save me. Mom and Daddy took me to church. Daddy preached to me, but it wasn't until I was 16 years old that I applied the tree to my life. Are you saved this morning? And if not, I sure am glad there's a tree. And if you'll let that tree become real in your life, amen, if you'll let Calvary become real to you, He'll change your life.